Hi, this is Yao Ling, and I run a branding and design studio, Foreign Policy Design, here in Singapore. Today, we are kickstarting Showing Up, a new series we are producing that I'll be co-hosting with Arthur, my partner here at Foreign Policy. We will be sharing stories and journeys of founders and creative entrepreneurs in the fields of design, business, tech, and the arts. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Foreign Policy Design. This season, we will be chatting around the topic of how we got here. And today we have with us Pan Lim from Kinetic, one of the leading creative agencies in Singapore. Pan is a winner of the Singapore President's Design Award and has led his agency with multiple wins at prestigious design awards such as D&AD, ADC, The One Show, etc. So without further ado, let's all show up for this first episode.
I will first like to say thanks for having me and showing up today amidst my schedule is totally fine. I think we need to make time for necessary things in life, I guess. I don't think our journey as creatives is just designing all the time. I think there's more to it than just designing. I think it's really more about living. And I guess probably we will have a good chance to talk about that later.
So this capsule is about how we got here. Mm. So welcome to this very special episode. The first time, our first guest as well.
Alright.
So we'll hop right in. Yeah.
Okay.
So I read about how Carol invited you to join Kinetic, and I'm curious about how that played out, because everyone had similar yet different roles, and how did you guys complement and sort of supplement each other?
So the interesting bit about this is my first job at DDB, which was like a big agency, then to Beatty Ads, which was also quite a considerable size agency. Then come receiving a phone call while I was still happily working at Beatty, and my good friend Carol, which also happened to be a close friend when we were in Tampines Junior College. So she said that back then they already started Kinetic Interactive. So Kinetic Interactive was started in 1999, and it was co-founded by Carol, Sean Lam, Benji Chu, and Adrian Tan, four of them. So they were in the so-called dot-com boom period. So they did websites, and Sean and Benji are killer art directors, okay, their work is killer. So, and Carol is one of the best account servicing person I've ever met, good business thinking, great leader, and it's no surprise that within a very short period of time, within a year, they got noticed, they got a lot of projects, their work just got famous around the world, winning international awards, and they formed the right thing at the right place at the right time. So, but what happened was, while it was a dot-com boom, but amongst budgets spent by clients, it still scraps like a 10% or less. So clients still pretty much spend 90% of the money on traditional media. Mm. So while Kinetic Interactive have a lot of clients, they also ask for, they like how they work. They say, do you have a print arm that does print? Or design like name cards and whatnot. So Carol saw an opportunity there. So he invited me and Roy Po, now of Beautiful Design, and her and Adrian Tan to form Kinetic Design Advertising. So that was like year 2000-ish, I received a phone call. Can't remember the exact date, but I remember I was reaching my mom's house gate. I was going home. The call came and we chat, and he said, "Hey, you wanna join? I wanna start this thing." I said, "Huh? Really? Ah? I still happy here. I still remember that. I was kind of not far from those things that I was saying." I said, "I'm quite happy where I was." Then she said, "Think about it, ah." Then I said, "Okay." I said, "Let me think about it, because it would be fun, right? Hanging out with friends, doing shit, then doing work, you know." So. Yeah, then I can't remember how long I spent thinking. I know I wouldn't spend more than a week thinking. Mm. Then just say, okay, let's do this. So So that's how I co-founded the Print Arm. And of course, time passed, and now throughout the years, some partners have left, you know, to pursue their other interests, some to pursue other businesses and whatnot. So it just, I think everybody left behind a very strong foundation for me to pick up the baton and carry on. So to me, what we are doing now is actually an amalgamation of everyone's hard work, and the baton was just handed on to me lah. So in short, actually my pressure is, I got huge pressure because I don't want to let anyone down. Even though they have left, but you know that it's still their legacy. So the challenge was to, how do I carry on the journey, bring in more of my DNA, but not forgetting the previous DNA, and how to make it better and whatnot lah. So yeah.
How would you describe the way you do things at Kinetic as a family?
For us, I think Kinetic's culture is... Okay, I think we start from how we work, right? How we function, right? I always look at it as a foundation thing first. What is the foundation? The foundation is built on family, love, and trust. That is, to me, beyond skill sets first. So let's say, for instance, of course, day one, let's say I start with zero people in the office. I need to hire people in, right? A lot of people say, okay, bring in the best talent you can get. Agree. But I don't look at that first. I look at how is this person first. If I feel that this person is not going to be a team player, even the portfolio is like, you know, 11 upon 10, like overperforming type, I will not even try. I have no problem if the portfolio, when I look at it, is like, my God, this guy is even better than me. Awesome, just take him. Because some smart people tell me this before. Always hire people better than you, which is true. But for me, is I okay with hiring people better than me, smarter than me, more hardworking than me. That's great. But I think what's above all this is, how are they as a person, right, when crunch time comes? Like, you know, it's easy to celebrate, to be honest. It's easy to celebrate when we win something, we win an account, or we win some awards. It's easy to celebrate because drinking, eating, who don't like, right? But we talk about the projects going through a tough time. Talk about losing accounts. Let's talk about clients not happy with the work and whatnot, those bad things. I'm more interested in those things because easy things and happy things are easy.
Right.
It's the hard things that are hard, right? So the culture is built on that first. We understand what it needs to be in a family first. How do you make your clients trust you that they buy creative work? I have questions like that, which to me is a bit similar to this. So I always find, right, that there is always a sweet spot. Because I don't think things are either one or not. Are they 10 or are they zero? They could be in a sweet spot, right, where it's creative but easily understandable by the client and works for the market. And I'm only searching for that. I'm not searching for being creative, because that is not good enough. Because we are only singing to ourselves. So, I mean, yes, if let's say I'm a singer, and I'm a songwriter, and I believe that should be the method I should be doing. I should sing for myself, and people who like my songs listen to me, and then they follow the singer. But sadly, as a designer, that is not the lifestyle. That's not the mission. The mission is to think creatively that a client can understand, and at the same time, your industry peers were like, wow, it's like quite a basic idea, but I think it's creative and most masses can understand. And that is actually the sweet spot. And I'm just going for that all the time.
I know right now you're running Kinetic yourself. So you have to wear that creative hat, and then you have to wear the business hat, right? So how do you balance churning out creative projects and yet making sure that the financials are healthy?
I think I'm very lucky. So now this one, we have to backtrack again, right? Back to how I went to Faiz Plaza and solicit businesses, then later telling them, sorry, the next project is not $50. right? As a creative, you'll be thinking, my God, the guy is giving me one more job. Let's take no. My answer is no. My answer is, I can do it, but you have tried the goods already, so now you know it's worth maybe $500. Then let's go for that. So that's how I balance numbers and creative. But of course, at heart, I'm still a creative guy. Mm-hmm. But I understand the numbers enough for me not to be a sucker, lah. Not to do things where you feel that you're not properly compensated. I use the word compensated some more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like for instance, throughout the years, you have built quite a decent portfolio. You cannot ask for something much more when you are nothing, right? But you cannot ask for nothing when you are something.
Mm.
You get what I mean? You cannot. So there is a thin line. So this thin line is actually the hard part. It's not really about the creative or the business head. It's about this thin line, right? About actually, what are we worth?
Mm.
What are we worth? If we are worth this much, is there a reason why we are going lower? Is it because the market sentiments is bad now? So as a whole industry, everybody is going lower because it's an industry shift, and hence no choice, we have to, you know, move with times. Then I think that's something we need to consider, because I always believe we need to be realistic. We can't be dreaming that, oh, in 10 years ago I was charging X amount. 10 years later, why can't I charge that X amount? I should be charging 2X.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then that's up to you. If you are so good and you can convince people to pay you 2X, go ahead. But for me, I will move with times, but I will ask myself logically, are we compensated fairly? And what we are giving to the client, are we giving them good enough product for us to charge that as well? I think me wearing both hats are only half the equation. I need to have a good team that also have these both hats. Because actually all my creatives in the office understand numbers. That's the nice part. So every time we sit down, we talk about our project, and we talk about the amount of money that we're supposed to spend on this, then we will talk about it and say, no, this is not worth it. Let's think of another way to do this.
Is there one philosophy that you can share?
My philosophy is quite basic. I put my people before me. Actually, that's all. And you see, it's easy to say this statement. It's easy. So the only way to prove this statement, right, is the people working in the office. They know. They know that I'm not the usual guy. Because understanding where, as employers, right, let's say a company is a triangle shape. As employers, you're right at the top. Right at the top. You look at the on top, it's lonely. You know? It's a sharp point. There's only a few people can stand there. At the bottom, is where all the fun is. You know, all the people are there. That's why I never like this triangle shape. I want to make a flat rectangle shape. Flat, as flat as possible, but there's a few steps. Because to say that everyone is the same is bullshit. It can't be. Right? Because I'm the one looking at the numbers. Right? I can't open up and say, hey, everybody, take a look at these numbers. It's flat. No, right? There isn't such a thing. So there is a few steps, but it's as flat as you can get in any place you can work in. At least that's what I'm gunning for. So if it's done in that manner, I put the people before me, then the people will always consider one another. We'll always consider one another. So we don't do like selfish things that we try not to. So I implemented a few. I'm not sure, maybe a lot of people are doing that as well. When everybody started working home, we started earlier than government circuit breaker. We started 2-3 weeks earlier because everybody wanted to try how is it like first. Suggested also by my guys. Iban, I think we better start earlier to see whether Bangkok will pop up. Right? See? It's a good suggestion, right? Better start early before to see whether there will be a pop up. Right? So we started early. Then when everybody started working from home, then I email everybody already. Every month, I'll subsidize your electrical fees at home. That's the first thing I did. Because now my office not using power already. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the electric fee go to that I used to pay? I save money. But I'm not saving money. I'm cheating from my colleagues who's spending money at home, you know. So that's, you see, that's the first thing you think about first. What is the right thing to do? So I email everybody, I will pay X amount of dollars from your household. Okay, but you on aircon 24/7, I cannot support. I tell them joke, you know, it's a fact. You on aircon 24/7, I cannot power. But I'll be fair enough. I base it on a generic household, I'll pay. Then after that, those who start to work in office, I email everybody. Those who are working in office, I'll pay for your face mask. Every month, a particular sum of money to buy face mask. Just do that. Simple thing, right? It's not going to cost a lot. Seriously. Then after that, more and more brands started coming out with washable ones. Then I changed that, because before that, disposable become a bit more expensive. So I say, okay, every year you're entitled to how many washable ones, because some washable ones can wash like 10 times. 10 times equals to how many days. So I divide and I get an average and I top up more. I just say, okay, go and buy your face mask, watch whichever brand, Uniqlo, Muji, whatever. It's a simple solution, nothing. Actually, it's nothing to, it's a very small thing to a company. But it's, sometimes it's not about how big the budget is. It's the idea, right? It's the idea of being, like, if you really put your guys before you, you've been thinking what? Wow, they keep traveling, then face mask keep buying. Need to do something. So I, and this is just one example, or a few examples, but these examples cannot happen in 1 week. These examples need to be felt throughout their whole entire time at Kinetic.
You have this amazing sort of sense of empathy, that there's a very strong innate ability to be able to understand things and to read suddenly beyond the surface. And I think that's quite a powerful trait to have. Which also brings me to another interesting point is, how do you even sleep? Do you sleep? You are operating at such a high level for Kinetic.
Yeah.
You run an amazing family project, fanzine, and you have a side band, and you're constantly at the key events. You show up, right, for exhibition, opening.
I try to.
Most of the time, I see you.
How do you do that? And then, yet, it's very consistently all highly sort of done well.
I see.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just to have a bit of accuracy there, I actually not playing in any band for a long time. Haven't been playing in my side band and my concave screen for the last 11 to now maybe 12 years already. Haven't been playing for the last 11, 12 years. I'm a like bedroom guitar player. So only when I have time, then I go to my, I'll tell Claire, my concubines to play, which to be honest, when different point in my in my daily life, depending on projects, I won't have enough time for everything altogether. It's just that maybe at a broad glance, it feels that I've done a lot, right? But they are all periodic, lah. So the only thing that really is 365 for me will be Kinetic's work. So that's my priority in what I do. The first priority is Kinetic's is my commitment 365 days a year. So even on weekends, if it's work, it's work. So that will not change. But of course, I'm not saying that my office come back 365, no. Actually, we are the few agencies that we are trying to have balanced family life. So I don't want my guys to go on weekends. So sometimes we're invited to for a pitch or what, and I look at it, okay, this one's gonna burn 4 weekends. I prefer not to take. It means that I go poorer a bit lah. But I think, you see, the thing about me, about family life, back to this again, sorry. I know it's like keep going back there. Is, you see, those people who are single, right? I would like to see them going out with someone. But you can only do that if you have some time of your own, right? If you, weekends I see you in the office, you must be dating someone in the office, right? If not, there's no way, right? So, I say no. Then you go and see if you've got time to meet someone. Then those who are already meeting people, is it going to the next stage? maybe spend more time, maybe can get married. Ma. Then those who are already married, maybe the next phase is you, if you want to have kids, then maybe have kids. And those already have kids, then you should spend time with your kids. You shouldn't be spending your weekends in the office, then what happened to your kids? That's to me where I talked about earlier on, where designing is everything, but it's also not everything. There is a certain balance where we need to strike that we know that we are still human. Back to how I juggle my time, right, is that I think maybe it accounts for my lifestyle a bit. So I'm quite, let's say, just a very simple example. I wake up in the morning. Let's say I want to get a cup of coffee, then I want to do certain things. Because I know that the coffee machine takes 1 minute to start, I will never do my other things, then later I'm going to start my machine. I will start the machine first, then I'm going to do other things. By the time I make one round, the machine just got heated up and I dispense the coffee. That's actually how I operate. I put all the empty spaces and fill it up with stuff so that it's productive. So I do everything, even I will start designing a project. I won't design first, I'll think, okay, if I was to go in like that, it will take me 3 months. That's not the right way to do it. I'd rather take 1 week to think properly how do I execute this than to execute 1 week earlier. I'll plan first, because later you'll save time. Mm-hmm. And when you save time, you can hone your project. But if you don't have time, you got no time to hone your project, right? You gotta go, the project gotta go already.
So every design studio or advertising or hybrid in your case, studio have their own fair share of whether we call it shitty project or very challenging incidences. Could you share two or three of those and how you overcame them and what you should learn about them?
I see. Actually, for us, we consider ourselves quite fortunate. Running for 21 years. Kinetic is 21 years. I'm on it for 19 years. So I will say that the fortunate thing is we do not have many such examples to share. But I do know one thing that probably will lead to a bad partnership. Because I consider our work together with the client a partnership, right? So I think, like any relationship, being on the same page is the most critical. So like some clients, when they hire a particular agency, a design studio, I think they need to know what are their strengths. Like, why do you choose them in the first place? Because they are good with design, or is it they are good with logo design, or they are good with their advertising communications, or they are good with video production and whatnot. I think they need to know what the strength of the studio they are working with. So if they know what these guys are capable of, when we're working together, they are less likely of unfortunate things to happen. So just to give an example, like I worked with a client before where sometimes they expect us to be yes men. Our job is not to say no. Okay, it can't be the client coming, no, it's not that. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to hear, and actually for us, I would say that majority of the times we coordinate with the clients and we take in their feedback and we do amendments, and many times it come out better, you know. Because don't forget the part we talk about authenticity, because sometimes the client really do know their brand better than us. So to hear them out is the first thing we need to do. So our job is not to say no. But our job is also not to be a yes man. You come, change this one, darker, I don't like this typeface, I change this. Then, certain aspects of certain geometry shape that is 100% subjective. Oh, I prefer this, prefer that. And if you don't go back with the exact changes, they are upset because, you know, you didn't follow. But then the thing is, when you hired us, you knew that we were a creative agency. We are not a FA studio where our proposition to you was come to us and we will get everything mapped out for you. And whatever you all require, you all want this, I just put on the left, put on the right, as per what your suggestion is, then I feel that I'm not doing my job. Then you're overpaying us for the job. Because it's funny, you know? So to me, I think that is actually the main thing that I can really talk about. The rest, I do not really have, really quite lucky that most of the time, whatever we present, because I go in with the mindset, right, that they will understand.
I think it's been an amazing sharing.
Yeah, you've been so generous about all these.
Yeah, I feel that I learned so much. And I also got to know you a little bit more. we haven't really sat down before and have a...
This is good.
This is... I enjoyed it tremendously.
Yes.
So thank you so much. Yes. Thanks for showing up again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thank you.